Once again, the year has sped by and we're set to welcome in 2025. But before we go there's a lot to discuss about the food industry in 2024. So just as in years past, I, your TAG Talks host, Lisa Lupo, am welcoming TAG's founder and CEO, Dr. David Acheson, to talk about some of the most significant events of 2024 and what they meant for the food industry. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to be with you one more time.
Always great to have you, even though it means another year is gone in this case. So,
yep.
So looking at 2024, what do you see as having been the top most impactful food safety event in the food industry? And what was such an impact?
That's a great question. And I think 2024 is going to go down in the history books. At least I hope that's history, because with a bit of luck, what we're seeing this year won't continue to repeat. Mm. And it'll become like a little bit of a standout year. But for some reason, we seem to have gone through, particularly the latter part of the year, just one recall after another, one outbreak after another, commodity pathogen connections that we don't typically see. I don't want to call it weird, because that just doesn't sound very scientific, but it's unusual. And, you know, it's got a lot of people saying, well, what's going on? Is the food supply getting less safe? It's like, what's happening? I mean, clearly there was some significant outbreaks that we've seen related to Listeria, E. coli, a lot of people getting sick, unfortunately, people losing their lives as a result of that. I think another thing that stands out a little bit is, once again, the regulatory agencies have been bashed around a bit for different reasons this time. I think USDA more on its oversight, and FDA more on its sort of lack of keeping up with chemical risks. But
all right,
it is a year that stands out right now with like, there's just a lot of things going on related to food safety.
Okay. So, you know, that was kind of the top, is just that there are lots of these recalls and such. What are some of the other kind of critical events, issues, or regulatory actions even that took place in 2024?
Well, moving into sort of the political realm, the regulatory realm, there's not a ton of stuff that happened on the regulatory side from FDA. We're obviously, you know, we're still working on the traceability rule, which we've got another 12 months or so before it at least theoretically becomes a requirement. On the USDA side, we've seen a lot of action on salmonella.
Right.
That's continued to be a major push, with historically the agency, that's Food Safety Inspection Agency, coming out with requirements around breaded chicken, which has now been followed up with proposed requirements around salmonella in all poultry, not just breaded chicken. Slightly different standards. So from a regulatory perspective, that's one of the biggest things that I think we've seen. That's meat and poultry centric. It's essentially with regard to salmonella. I think other political things that we've seen or similar regulatory strategies have come out at the state level. I mentioned just now about chemical focus from FDA. I think very clearly we've seen a chemical residue focus from the state of California, with FDA kind of playing catch up or trying to. Obviously, the other elephant in the room in 2024 was the election, and the whole movement that was focused on Make America Healthy Again. And our president-elect announcing that he wants to put RFK Jr. as the head of Health and Human Services with a mandate to go fix the food system and make America healthy again. So, you know, while that hasn't turned into anything yet other than rhetoric, it has been a lot of that. There's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot of speculation as to what it's going to mean. So that's clearly a big event in 2024 that will track out into the future in some unknown way, perhaps. But so it's been as usual in the food world. It's been a year of change and angst and challenges to the food industry. And like, where's it all headed, and where are we going?
Right. So, given a few of those, say, you know, the chemicals, the salmonella, the changes, you know, in regulatory, what can or should the industry be doing? It's, you know, are there things that they should be looking ahead to do or doing now to improve or just to catch up even?
Well, that's, industry can react to requirements. I mean, the industry broadly from a regulatory perspective is obviously focused on being compliant with traceability rules on the FDA side. On the FSIS side, there's dialogue around the salmonella requirements or proposed requirements and regulations. So that's all happening. You know, when it comes to some of these other areas, there isn't a heck of a lot to change at this point, other than like, keep your eyes open, watch out what's going on. And if you're going to try to be a little proactive, one of the areas is to start to ask yourself, well, if we look at supposing FDA was to regulate chemicals much more stringently, and some of the dialogue has been like, which you see on mainstream media, it's like, well, Europe doesn't allow this, and this, but we do in the United States. You know, an example just very recently has been in the United Kingdom. There's been a lot of candy items that have been pulled off the shelves there by the regulators because they're made in the United States and they've got all sorts of colors and this and that and the other in them that they don't allow in the UK. So if you want to sort of speculate, then it would make sense to say, if in the United States we were regulated to the same level with chemical residues as the Europeans and the British, what would that look like? What might be that impact on me? I wouldn't recommend anybody take an action because typically, I mean, these things do take some time, so you've got time to adjust. But as we've said many times before, it's always smart to be trying to look around the next corner and begin to think about, well, how would I approach this? How am I going to tackle this? What could I do? What should I do? And right now the should is like, watch and wait and see, but planning is always smart, and thinking, well, is this going to impact me in some way that I need to start to plan about how to replace residue X, chemical Y, colorant Z in my products should it go that way? So I think that's the most prudent thing to do.
Okay. So as you mentioned also, there is a lot of kind of talk and focus and looking at the worsening food safety and increasing recalls. Is this indicative of a worsening food safety system or increasing detection or what, you know, are we having more recalls or are we just seeing more? You know, what's your take on all that?
Well, the statistics will tell us whether numerically we're having more recalls. It feels like we're having a bunch, but that has a lot to do with, I think, media cycle and focus, because when you get a big event and the election's over, so what's the media going to focus on? Well, you know, there's lots of things going on in the rest of the world, but it you know, it's typically we see when something big happens, then the next time something not so big happens, but in the same general vein, food safety, it's like, oh, this is a news topic. We can talk about this because this will sell copy and people will subscribe. So, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. Now, does that mean that recalls actually have gone up? Last time I looked at the numbers, they vary anyway, and we're not sort of seeing some massive shift and increase. It might blip up a little bit, but that's not so unusual. It happens. My personal view is I think the food supply continues to get safer and safer incrementally. I think that's my view. Now, having said that, you get companies that are struggling and they don't do things right, and stuff goes wrong and people get sick. That's always been the case, and it will continue to be the case. And we've had a couple of those recently that have got sort of major headlines where things have gone wrong and a lot of people have got sick. Always with these situations is there's greater sensitivity when these things go wrong, so there's more high profile. Consistently, the United States gets better at identifying outbreaks. I mean, historically, we have evolved our genetic technology, the molecular genetics of being able to do matches, the molecular epidemiology, as you call it, linking strain over here with strain over there and a food over here. It's like, okay, we're getting better and better and better at that. So year over year, clusters, small outbreaks that might have gone unnoticed are being picked up, noticed, and reacted to. I think also, when one sees a significant outbreak due to listeria, there is, particularly if a regulatory agency has been, it's been suggested that they perhaps weren't as diligent as they could or should have been, then there is a reaction in the opposite direction, and there's a lot more diligence, there's a lot more focus, there's more testing, there's a heck of a lot less tolerance when something pops up and a company says, "Oh, just give us some time, this is not a big deal." You know, the regulatory agencies are going to say, "I'm going to give you no time, and it is a big deal, and get it off the market, or are we going to put out a public health release?" So all of that translates into more noise, more action, more recalls, more identification of small outbreaks that might otherwise have gone unnoticed. Just general more noise. I mean, another component to all of this is, which is not a new phenomenon, and I've certainly spoken of it before, is, are we becoming more susceptible? You know, as a society, we get older, at least you and I are. Just kidding. But you know, the point is, you know, we have more individuals who perhaps fall into that immune suppressed bucket, either because of age or because of, you know, modern medical technology that is helping people survive situations that they might otherwise not have. Now that's a very gradual slope. That's not something that suddenly changed a whole lot in 2024. But all of these factors play in. And, you know, as you and I talk about this, I think it's very fair to say the perception is that something's changed, that something's got worse. It's hard. I don't really believe that it's changed that much. But the focus changes and the perceptions change. And I still, you know, I'm a still strong advocate. So I think year over year, our food safety system gets stronger. Not everybody would agree with me on that. I do understand that. And food industries have struggled, I think, since COVID. They have struggled with finding talented individuals who want to work in the food industry. So, you know, we went through a period of lots of temps, which was challenging for the food industry. I think that's sort of gone away a little bit. But folks don't really want to work in refrigeration temperatures for 8-hour shifts 5 days a week. You know, if I can go work somewhere warm and toasty, I'd rather do that. So I think the food industry has continued to struggle to find good people and maintain them. And, you know, that's a training issue. And so all of these factors sort of play in to create a dynamic situation that we're all striving to manage.
So let's switch over and take kind of a silver lining approach here. Where did the industry do well? What are some positive aspects that we can look back on?
Well, I think what the industry has done is that they have taken these challenges seriously. Certainly, the companies that TAG works with come to us and saying, "Hey, we want to get better. We want to do things better." And this is sometimes it's triggered by a disaster or a near or a close call or something that hasn't gone well. But a lot of it is just, you know, the environment has changed, and we want to make sure that we're optimizing our systems. You know, those are companies we love to work with because essentially they're saying, "We think we're good, but can you come check?" And sometimes when we do, they are, and we tweak it. And sometimes it's like, well, you're not as good as you thought you were, and they're open to solutions. So I think there has been increasing recognition in the food industry that the challenges have changed, and companies, they want to try and do the right thing, especially if they're, you know, if they're high profile, large brands, working to try to reduce risk. So they've done a lot of those things well. I think, companies have trying to look around the corner and say, well, which are the chemical residues and the things that we need to worry about? Big changes in packaging. Again, not all in 2024, but over the last several years, there's been a focus on some of the, quote, forever chemicals in packaging. And food companies have definitely worked to try to remove those out of the system. I think we continue to see the produce industry trying to understand risk. When one's growing something out of doors and it's not going through a kill step, how can we continue to drive down risks with water quality or understanding how microbes spread? So the industry's continued to do a lot, but you know, it remains a low margin business, and you know, companies have to look about where are we putting our money to invest. And they're not neglecting food safety for the most part, that's for sure. But
yeah, good.
I think it's been a bit of a struggle for all sorts of reasons this year. Consumers have felt the pressure, and you know, all sorts of external forces. Things have cost a little more, and everything's just become a bit more challenging.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of issues here. Kind of wrapping up 2024, what would be your assessment related to food safety or the food industry as a whole? What would kind of be the takeaways?
I think the key takeaway there, Lisa, is it's become higher profile. Right now, I think your average consumer is more sensitized to foodborne illness outbreaks than they have been in a little while, because we've had some high profile brands that have been in the news big time. And that always sort of sensitizes people. So, you know, I think 2024 has been a year where food safety, sometimes you don't talk about it all year. I mean, we do, but consumers don't. This year, I think, particularly in the last 6 months, it's been on the news. It's become a hot topic. So you know, that raises the ante on the regulatory side, on the industry side. It increases the risk. It increases the exposures. It increases the risk of litigation when things go wrong. It increases the likelihood of dots being connected and outbreaks and clusters being associated with food. So the food industry is, I think, aware of that. I think the other big message for 2024 is, aside from it's become high profile, that is then linked with the election, where we got the big Make America Healthy Again movement, which is not focused on microbes, it's focused on chemicals. And there's a lot of questions about where's that going to go. But in 2024, it's like squarely sitting on the table. You know, it's the elephant in the room. And is it going to go left, right, upwards, downwards, or sideways? You know, who knows? But there's a lot of people asking those questions and saying, well, what's the impact of this? And what's RFK Jr. going to do?
Right.
And I think that's a significant component of where the year has landed in December 2024, is what's the next 4 years going to look like?
Okay. Well, that was kind of a really good ending there, since in our next episode, everyone stay tuned for January, where David will discuss 2025. But I'd like to thank you for your insights on 2024. So be sure to stay tuned to Tag Talks Food Safety, and also like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform to be sure you stay up to date. Thank you. And thank you again, David.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.